Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Tamid Daf Chav Tes. We are holding on Daf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. We're at the second line of the page on Daf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Hey Chalu Ma'alin Begzirin. So the first thing we're going to discuss is the Seder HaMa'aracha, how they would arrange the Eitzim and which Eitzim they would use on the Mizbeach as we continue through the Seder Ayom that they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how in the context of describing something in our Mishnah, we use a Lashon Guzma, and therefore we're going to give other examples where Mishnayos use, or even Amoraim use, a Lashon Guzma, an exaggerated expression. Lashon Havai, the Gemara calls it. An exaggerated expression, even though something is not being 100% accurate, but that's just Dibru Chachamim, the Lashon Havai, that sometimes the Chacham spoke in an exaggerated expression. Then the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that the Mishnah distinguishes between some types of wood and other types of wood, as far as what is kosher, the Ma'aracha, what they were allowed to use for the Ma'aracha, and we're going to have different explanations as to why it is that some types of wood are okay and other types of wood are not okay. And that conversation is going to bring us certainly to the end of the daf and then almost to the very end of the parak as well. So let's begin second line on the page on daf chav tes amud aleph. So the Mishnah says after the Kohanim shoveled out the deshen and they put it on the tapuach, meaning after the trumas deshen, we learned that they took all of the rest of the deshen and they piled it onto the tapuach, onto that giant pile of ashes, or it became a very giant pile of ashes over on the busier days in the middle of the Mizbech. Hechalu malin begzirin, so they began to bring onto the Mizbech long cut pieces of wood that had been smoothed out, l'saderes ha-ma'aracha, in order to arrange with them the large ma'aracha that they needed for the hakrava of the karban tamid. In Maseches Yuma, Daf Chav Zayin and Beis, the Gemara tells us that there are two different dinim of sidur ma'aracha shel etzim, of arranging blocks of wood or pieces of wood, logs of wood on the Mizbech. First, there's the din of the Ikar HaMa'aracha. They would bring a lot of wood for the sake of the Ma'aracha that needed to burn all of the different parts of the Karbanos. And then they had Sidur Shnei Gizrei Eitzim that they would bring together with the Karban Tamid, and they would add on top of the Atzei Ma'aracha two logs of wood, Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. And there are different halachos for these two different Ma'arachas, for these two different bringings of wood that they would have. The Sidur Ikar HaMa'aracha is kosher even Balayla. The Sidur Shnei Gizrei Eitzim is only Bayom, cannot be done Balayla. A Zar that's Mesader, the Ikar HaMa'aracha, is not Chayiv Misa. A Zar that's Mesader, the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, is Chayiv Misa. And it's Machlokas Rishonim in our Mishnah, when we said that they began to be to Lalos Begazirim, to be Mesader HaMa'aracha, which Ma'aracha it means. Does it mean the Ikar Sidur HaMa'aracha or the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim? The Rush and the Bartanura explain that we're talking about the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, but Tosyantav raises the question that the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim can only be done by a Kohen, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tmidin Musafin. And over here it says Hechelu Ma'alin, so it sounds like a lot of people were doing it. And he therefore says that from the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, it sounds like that the Rambam understands the Mishnah to be talking about the Iker Sidur HaMa'aracha, not the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. So the Be'er Sheva asks also on the Shita that it's the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, that it sounds that the Gemara in Yumas tells us that the Sidur Shtei HaMa'arachos comes before the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and over here we're going through the Seder Ayom of what they did, and they were not yet Mesader the Ma'aracha Shnia, like we're going to see soon in the Mishnah. So he says there's a difference between being Malah Shnei Gizirim for their Sidur Al Gabe HaMa'aracha, that the Sidur has to be Al Yedei HaKohen, and after the Sidur Ma'arachos, but the Ha'ala'a could be done by many Kohanim. And that's why we say that they began to be Malah before they were Mesader, before they arranged it. So maybe that's the difference. But anyway, so that was the next stage that they would arrange. They would bring up these pieces of wood for the Seder HaMa'aracha. So once we tell us that, once the Mishnah tells us that they were being Mala Eitzim, and it doesn't tell us what kind of wood they were using, so says the Mishnah, V'chikola Eitzim K'sherun L'Ma'aracha, can they use whatever kind of wood they want for the Ma'aracha? Says the Mishnah, Hein, Kol Eitzim K'sherun L'Ma'aracha, yeah, they could use whatever wood they want, Chutz Mishal Geffen Vishal Zayas, with two exceptions, they're not allowed to use Geffen wood or Zayas wood. And we're going to see a Machlokas in the Gemara why it is that they're not allowed to use it. Some will say because of of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, since they have peiros, so cutting them down is not good. Some say because they have knots in them, they have these rough spots in them. The Medrash, though, gives another reason that the Gemara does not give, that since the peiros of these two Eitzim would be, you'd be makriv already on the Mizbeach, the Yayin L'Nesachim and the Shemen L'Menachos, so they saved those Ilanos not to cut them for the Mizbeach, because anyway, the fruits in them are going to be used for the Mizbeach. The Ramban quotes this with regard to Avram saving his father Terach, and the Ramban paskins that the reason is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not based on the other reason nor the reason mentioned in the Medrash. Okay, so then the Mishnah tells us that even though all other Eitzim are kasher l'maracha, aval be'elu hayu regilin b'morbios shel te'ena shel egos v'shel eitz shemen, even though all different types of Eitzim are kasher to use for the maracha, the ones that they were most, that they most commonly used were morbios, which have these long branches, long branches of te'ena, of egos, and of eitz shemen, because those are the very best wood to use. What exactly does eitz shemen mean? It can't mean eitz zayis, because that's what we just said is one of the things that they shouldn't use. That kol eitzim ksher in the maracha chutz mishal gefen vishal zayis. So eitz shemen can't mean shal zayis. We already said that that's not okay. So the Mefarish says that it's Eitzim that are that light like a shemen, like a ner shemen, that they don't need a separate fuel. They could use it as like its own torch. And the Achronim work on exactly what that is. The Bar Tanura says that it's an Eitz Pri that makes shemen aparsimon. So not shemen zayis, but shemen aparsimon. So some other type of Eitz that produces shemen. So now the Mishnah details the Seder Hanachas Eitzim on the Ma'aracha. So the Kohen that was Zocha to do the Trumas Hadeshen, Seder HaMa'aracha Gedola, he arranged the Ma'aracha Gedola where there would be Makriv, the Karban Talmud, and all the other Karbanos would be Makriv on it as well. The reason it's called the Ma'aracha Gedola is because there are two other Ma'arachos that are smaller than this one. There's the one of the Ketores that we're going to see in the Mishnah, and another one just to keep an Eish Tamid Tukar on the Mizbeach, just to keep an Eish going on the Mizbeach at all times. So that's why this one is called the Ma'aracha Gedola. It's the largest of the Ma'arachos. So the Tiferes Yisrael adds that it's called Gedola because it also provides a tremendous Kapara. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, and the Ma'aracha Shlishis of keeping the fire there didn't have a specific place or a Zman Kavua that they would be Madli. So anyway, so they'd be misader the Ma'aracha Gedola, Mizracha on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, v'chazisa Mizracha, and there was an opening like a window in this Ma'aracha, meaning what the wood was not mamish touching each other one against the other. There was a little space between the wood on the eastern side of this Ma'aracha. V'rashay gezirin hapnimim hayu nogin b'tapuach, and the tips of the pieces of wood that were on the inside of the Mizbeach, that were further in on the Mizbeach, meaning toward the west of the Ma'aracha, were touching the Tapuach, which was in the middle of the Mizbeach. So that's how large this Ma'aracha was. That even though it started on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, it extended all the way to the middle of the Mizbeach, where it was touching the Tapuach, which was the giant pile of ashes that was piled up in the middle of the Mizbeach. The Tana brings this idea in order to let us know that they were makrav the gezirim, the megzirim that they would bring it close to the emtsa mizbeach in order that the Kohanim who would walk around the edges shouldn't burn their clothing. Meaning, it wasn't all the way on the east. If it was all the way on the east, then there wouldn't be Kohanim, there wouldn't be room for Kohanim to go around it. So they would move the pile close enough that it could almost touch the Tapuach. The ends of the Ma'aracha could almost touch the Tapuach, so that Kohanim were able to go around it without burning their clothing. Then the Mishnah adds, V'reva chaya bein ha'gzirim, shayu metzisim es ha'alisa misham. There was some space between the arranging of the logs, and they would put small splinters in those little spaces in order to get the fire going. That's how you light a large fire. You have these big logs that will light for a very long time, but in order to get the fire going, you have to throw smaller pieces of wood in between that will catch very quickly. So they knew what they were doing. They knew how to light a bonfire. So that's how they would arrange it. They would arrange the logs of wood in such a way that they could put these small splinters in between. So now the Mishnah goes to the Sidur Maarecha Shniya that was done for the sake of the Ketores. So the Mishnah tells us, Beru Misham, they took from the Lishcha Se'etzim, Atze Te'ina Yafim, the choicest Atze Te'ina, V'Sidur Maarecha Shniya, and then they would arrange the second Maarecha on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, La Ketores, and that was in order that they should be able to take some of the coals from that in order to burn the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So even though they were arranging this Maarecha on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that's, and it's called the Maarecha for the Ketores, they didn't actually burn the Ketores on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Of course, they would burn that on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. They would just take the hot coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzon to bring to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, where they would then burn the Ketores. The place of this Maarecha was Keneged Ma'aravistromus, was on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach, and this was a Mashuch Min HaKeren Klapei Tzafon Arba Amos, but it wasn't Mamish on the corner. It was four Amos toward the north, meaning from the southernmost corner of the Mizbeach. It was pulled four Amos away from that, north of that, and they would put on this Maarecha, they would put Ba'omed, that they would estimate when they would burn Chamesh Si'in Gechalim, that to try to produce five sa'a of coals from this Maarecha, because that's what they needed in order to burn the Ketores. So that's what they aimed for. It was only Ba'omer, it wasn't Bidiyuk. The Rambam points out, Uba Kimo Chamesh Si'in Gechalim. The Rambam in Tvina Musaf in Parak Beis says about five Si'in of Gechalim, and probably because it's very difficult to, once it's burnt, to figure out exactly how much coal is going to be produced by the wood. And the Mikdash Tavri says that it means a sa beboker and a sa be'erev that they needed, because they had to shovel out for the Ketores shel ben arbayim as well. Some akronim say that since the gechalim was kavim v'holchim throughout the course of the day, it would continue to be extinguished, and so the chachamim gave a large shear of hay si'im gechalim, of five si'im, because in that way you're very safe, that you'll have enough for the Ketores Ben Arbaim, because you imagine that it's going to get smaller throughout the course of the day as it continues to burn. So that's why they chose this larger shear of Heis Sa'im. So that's that Lashon of Kimo. Of course, the Rambam most famously has in a different context when he discusses the amount of time that one waits between eating fleishigs and eating milchigs, where he says Kimo Shei Sha'os. So we do find that the word Kimo is used by the Rambam when it's meant that it's supposed to be an estimate, because over here it says Beferish, that is Ba'omed, that it's supposed to be an estimate, it's not supposed to be exact. But that's Pashtos, what the Rambam means, that it's supposed to be in the context of waiting between flesh and milchigs as well. He doesn't mean that a specific amount of time that is close to 6 hours, which some suggest that maybe the Rambam meant 5 hours or 5 hours and a minute or something like that. No, he probably means that you're allowed to estimate 6 hours, that you don't have to know exactly that it's been 6 hours, but when you estimate that it's about 6 hours, that would be good enough, because the halacha, of course, in the Gemara, in that context, is not 6 hours. The halacha is mesu'uda l'su'uda, so it could be an estimate of around 6 hours. And you have to realize that people, as my father mentioned last night, people didn't have clocks back then, so to know when exactly is 6 hours, it would have been impossible, but they could estimate what's about 6 hours. Whatever fats of karbanos that were not consumed the previous night, they would put them back on the maracha maracha gedola, and they would be burnt there. V'itzisu shtei marachos ba'esh. They then would kindle these two marachos with the fire. Yordu, the Kohanim would then come down from the Mizbeach, ubolam lishchas hagazis, and they would go into the lishchas hagazis in order to participate in the pious for determining who's going to be makriv the different parts of the Karban Tamid. That's how the Mefarish explains why they went straight to the Lishchas HaGazus, and we're going to see that the Mishnah, the third parak, we're going to describe this pious. The reason they didn't do the pious in the Azara was because when they were doing the pious, they had to remove the Mitznefes from the head of one of the Kohanim, and it's not Derech Kavel to stand that way in the Azara, or as we said, we pointed out, because the Mefarish points out, they were standing the eagle, they were standing in a circle, and in the Azara you shouldn't stand in a circle, because one of them is going to be, their backs of some of them are going to be El Heichal Hashem, and you don't want to turn the back to Heichal Hashem. The Tiferes Yisrael just adds that at the time of the pious, they had to have one of the Sanhedrin together with them, and they shouldn't have to be Matriach, a member of the Sanhedrin, to schlep to them. They can go to his office, and the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so it was in the Lishchas HaGazis, so that's why they went to the Lishchas HaGazis. It's called the Lishchas HaGazis because it was made from Avnei Gazis. Tos Yantif says that they did it for the covenant of the Sanhedrin. They made such a lishka out of these beautiful stones. Okay, so now we're going to have two mishnayos. The Gemara is going to tell us that there are two different mishnayos that speak b'lashon guzma, b'lashon havai. Amar Rava guzma. When our Mishnah said that, going back to what we discussed yesterday in our Mishnah, that the Mizbeach produced ashes that were 300 kor, that is a guzma. That is an exaggeration. And it's not that it actually produced such a massive amount of ashes on the Mizbeach. The Mefarish says that the Makom HaRacha can't possibly hold such a massive amount of ashes, and the Ramami Panu in Tshuva in Siman Ayin Gimel says the reason the Mishnah Dafka says 300 kor is to tell us that up until that shear it's considered noy l'mizbeach, but more than that is not noy l'mizbeach, it's mafriya the maracha, and you would have to move it out of the way. So when Rava says it's a guzma, it means that they wouldn't have to leave the deshen to such a shear. Meaning the Ramami Panu says that this actually is the halacha, that up until 300 kor, is still considered to be a nice thing for the Mizbeach. It's still considered to be Noila Mizbeach. It's just that it was a guzma in the sense that it didn't often happen, that it actually got to that number, that it got to 300 kor. Pashtus is, in reading the Gemara, that it never happened, that this was just an exaggerated expression to say that it was a very large pile of ashes. Hishku es haTamid, and another Mishnah that tells us that they would give the Karban Tamid water before they would shecht it, b'kos shel zahav, and they would feed it its water in a golden goblet in order that it would be well hydrated, so that when it came time to skin the animal, the skin would come off more easily. Amarava guzma, that's also guzma. They wouldn't use a kos shel zahav mamish to feed an animal. It was nechoshes, and it looked like zahav, so that's why they called it a kos shel zahav. So since Rav explains our Mishnah to be talking about b'lashon guzma, so the Gemara is now going to tell us that we find the Divrei Torah b'lashon guzma, lashon Neviim b'lashon guzma, lashon Chachamim b'lashon guzma. We find that throughout Torah we do speak in exaggerated terms. Am Rabbi Ami, Dibra Torah lashon avai. The Torah speaks sometimes in an imprecise lashon, but in exaggerated terminology. Dibra Neviim lashon avai and Dibra Chachamim lashon avai. And the examples are as follows: Dibra Torah lashon avai dechsiv, because the pasuk says when it talks about the meraglim that they said about the cities of Eretz Yisrael, Arim gedolos v'tzuros b'shamayim. So b'shamayim sal gedaitach. Does it make sense that the walls of these cities reached all the way to the shamayim? That can't be. Ella guzma. Obviously, it's a guzma that these were very, very high walls, and it looked like they reached all the way to the sky. It looked like they were skyscrapers, these walls. So that's why the Torah speaks b'lashon avai. Dibru chachamim lashon avai hadamara. And where do we find that the chachamim speak in lashon avai? What we just said. What we just said in our Mishnah. Tapuach. The two examples, our mission of the Tapuach being 300 kor of ashes, and the fact that there were mashka, the statement that there were mashka the Tamid, b'koshel zav, which clearly is not meant to be taken literally. Dibur Neviim Loshna Vay, Dechsiv, Va'am Mechalim Bechalilim, Va'tibak Ha'aretz L'kolam. And where do we find the Neviim speak Loshna Vay? When it talks about in Sefer Melachim Aleph, the Simcha of the Jewish people after they anointed Shlomo as a king, it says that Va'am Mechalim Bechalilim, and they were Smechim Simcha Gedola, Va'tibak Ha'aretz L'kolam, and the earth split from the sound of the celebration. So it doesn't mean that there was literally an earthquake, it just means because of the great sound of the Simcha, it seemed like the earth was cracking underneath them, that they were so, it was so lebedik when they were celebrating. The Ramah Mipanu, in that same tshuva we mentioned before, says that even though it's a Lashon Havai, but it's not Dvarim Betelim, it means to tell us that the earth was Misracheves Umiskatzeres, that it expanded and shrunk based on the need that they had, and at that time it expanded as much as possible to accommodate the large crowd. So there was somewhat miraculous what was going on there. It's just that there was no actual earthquake. Okay, so the Gemara brings other memorals. Amar Biyane Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel B'Shloshim Mekomos Dibrucham B'Loshen Havai. There are three places that the Chacham speak in an imprecise lashon. Ve'eluhein, and they are tapuach. One is our example of tapuach in our Mishnah, of the pile of ashes, which was clearly an exaggerated expression. The second is gefen, that the gefen that was in the Azara, which we'll see about in a second, and v'parochas. The third one is about the parochas, that we'll explain about in a second. So these three things, la'afuki mitarava, as opposed to what Rava suggested, that there's something else that was b'lashon havai, ditnan, and Rava said that giving the Kabbar Tamid to drink water in a Koshal Zav, that is only Guzma. So that Shmuel disagrees with. Hani in Hasamlo. Shmuel says no, that is not a Guzma. Only these three places is a Lashon Guzma. The Koshal Zav was meant to be taken literally, Ein Anius B'Makom Hashirus, and it was a way of expressing the concept of Ein Anius B'Makom Hashirus, that we never go cheap on anything in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash was done with a sense of Osher, with a sense of Srara, so they were Mashke the Tamid in a Kos Shel Zahav, and that was a way of expressing the great wealth of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Rava would probably disagree, and so, I mean, the reason Rava would disagree, though as Sefer Olas Tamid suggests, is that Ein Anius B'Makom Hashirus is something that we use to describe the clay Shares, but other kelim that were in the Mikdash that had nothing to do with the actual avoda, like feeding the Karman Tamid some water in advance so that it'll be easier to skin, that's not a klei shares, and therefore there's no need to express Ein Anius B'Makom Hashirus dafka in such kelim. Okay, but now let's get to the three examples that Shmuel actually did give. So number one, Tapuach HaDe'amaron. We already described the one about Tapuach, that sometimes that the deshen got so big that it was 300 cores, so that's only an exaggeration. Gefen ditnan, what was he talking about, that gefen is a guzma? So that's a Mishnah Maseches Midos, that it tells us, gefen zov hoiso medes al pesach ha-hechel, that they had a golden grapevine by the entranceway to the hechel, on the above the entranceway to the hechel on the outside, umudla al gabi klunasos, and it was being supported by poles of cedar wood. The kol misha misnadev Allah, and anyone who would be misnadev to the Betek Abayis, another leaf, another golden leaf onto this golden grapevine, o gargir, or another grape, o eshkal, or a cluster, maybe vitoliba, was able to bring it and hang it on this gefen. So Amr Blazam Rabbi Tzadik Maisahaya, once it happened, that v'nimnu aleha sholosh meos kohanim lefanosa, that there was so much gold that they had to appoint 300 kohanim in order to move it from the place that it was to bring it somewhere else. And the 300 kohanim that we described, that it took to schlep because the gold was so heavy, that's a Lashon Guzma, because that has to be Lashon Guzma, because if it was so full of so much gold that you needed 300 Kohanim in order to move it, it would have broken, right? There's no way that they would have waited that long until it would have broken, from the force of its weight. The Sefer Ezra's Kohanim explains that why would they have to move it? So he said, well, it could be that sometimes it broke or it needed to be repaired for some reason or another. So in such an instance, they would have to move it. But the Rash on the Mishnah explains that they would move it from its place in order to take off the Gargarim and the Eshkolos that were hanging on it. And that's what the Tiferes Yisrael says. In order to be Mefarik, the Olam and the Eshkolos that were hanging on it, they needed 300 Kohanim just to do that. So that's the second example of a Lashon Guzma. And the final example, according to Shmuel, is Paroches. Tetnan, the Mishnah says in the 8th Parak of Masech Shkalim, Rav Shimon Gamlielom, Rav Shimon Asagan, Paroches, the Paroches that was hanging between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was of your Tefach, was a Tefach thick, Al Shivim Shnayim Nimin Ne'ereges, and it was woven on 72 Nirim. Al Kol Nimav Nima, and for each hole in each Nir, Esrim Varba Chutin, 24 strands went through each hole in the loom. Orka arba'im amma, and its length was 40 amos. V'rachva esrim amma, and its width was 20 amos. Umishmonim ushtayim ribo naases, and it was made from 820,000, right? 82 times 10,000, yeah. So 820,000 dinari zahav. That's what it cost. Ushtayim osim b'kol shana v'shana, and they would make two of them every year. V'sholosh me'as kohanim matbilin osa, and if it ever became tameh, the amount of kohanim that were needed just to dip it in the mikvah because it was so heavy, it was such a thick beged, was they needed 300 kohanim to be matbilit. So that's a guzma, because it didn't really require 300 kohanim, but it required many, many kohanim, just not 300. And Tiferes Yisrael, he quotes from the Gra that the number is precise, because the 300 kohanim were able to hold it, because if it was 40 amos long and 20 amos wide, so the circumference around the perimeter of it turns out to be 120 amos, right? 40, 40, 20, 20 is 120, and each arm of the mikdash is 5 tefachim. So it turns out that if it's 120 amos, so 120 times 5, it's 600 tefachim, and each kohen would be oches b'shtei yadav, and each handful that you hold it is 2 tefachim. So it turned out 300 kohanim could actually hold it around its edges. So the math actually works out. So the Tiferes Yisrael asks that Rabbi Yani says it is Lashon Guzma. How can the Gra go and explain that it's not a Guzma at all? That it's exactly right. If the whole point of our Gemara is that it's Lashon Guzma. So it's Tiferes Yisrael quotes his son that really Bepoel, they didn't require 300 kohanim to do it. The Gra is just being mefarish that b'metzius it could be that 300 kohanim would hold it. But it's a Guzma in that when they would be tovlet, they didn't actually need 300 kohanim to do it. In a chinami, if you wanted 300 kohanim to be involved, you could. It was theoretically possible, but it wasn't what they would literally do when they needed to be tovlet. Okay. The Mishnah then said, "Hechlu malin b'gzivin l'sader samaracha," and we said they could use all types of wood except for chutz mishal zayis mishal gefen, that they can't use zayis wood and they can't use gefen wood for the maracha. So the Gemara explains why not. So hani my taima, why is it that zayis and gefen cannot be used for the maracha? Rav Papa Amar Mishum dekotri, because they have like these knots in the wood, so it wouldn't really fully dry out and wasn't smooth wood, and therefore wouldn't burn. Burn well either. It wouldn't burn well because it wasn't smooth, and it wouldn't burn well because it would never really fully, totally dry out. The Rush quotes two other reasons. He says katri maybe doesn't mean that it was like knots in the wood, but rather that it was smoky wood, that it would cause a lot of smoke to come out. And some are agoris katmi, which means efer, that since there's a lot, it makes a lot of ash, they don't want to bring it on the maracha, not to be matriach the kohanim, who are then going to have to take all of that ash out. out. So those are two other interpretations, other than saying that there were knots in the wood. So if you say there are knots in the wood, there are two reasons why knots in the wood is a bad thing, either because it doesn't make for smooth wood, or because it doesn't make for dry wood. And then there are two other interpretations. Maybe it doesn't mean knots, maybe it means very smoky wood, or maybe it means wood that produces a lot of ash. But that's one explanation why dafka, these types of wood, were not used. That if they would bring these type of eitzim, maracha, there would be less yayin and less shemen in Eretz Yisrael. And based on English, they needed a lot of eitzim, so that it would make a real impact on the amount of wine and the amount of oil that was available in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they would dafka refrain from using such wood. The Mefarish points out that Rav Acha bar Yaakov is moda to the time that Rav Papa gave, that since there are ksharim, you don't want to bring it l'ma'aracha. It's just that he added that even if not for that reason, you wouldn't bring Geffen and Zayas anyway because of Yish of Eretz Yisrael. And the Nafkamina in this reason is that even other Eitzim that don't have Ksharim, but if they produce Peros, you don't want to bring it because of Yish of Eretz Yisrael. Be'er Sheva raises the question, why don't we say Mishum Baltashka says Eitza, that you're not allowed to destroy fruit trees anyway. So what is Mishum Yish of Eretz Yisrael? It's an Isra of Baltashkas, wherever you are. So he suggests that Letzorech, a great mitzvah in bringing the wood to Ma'aracha, there's no Isra of Baltashkas. The Mishnah Melech says the Isra of Baltashkas is only when you're Oker and Ilan Me'ikaro, but when you're only cutting off some branches, then it's not an Isra of Baltashkas. So those are two explanations as to why it is that we don't mention Baltashkas. The Panim Yafos quotes a Sefri that darshans the Pasuk, Ki Mimenu Sochal, Zu Mitzvah Sasei, Va'osolu Sichros, Mitzvah Zol Sasei, and he says someone quotes an Ilan is in violation of an Asei and a Los Asei. So the Panim Yiru says, L'chora, since it's an Asei and a Los Asei, you're not even allowed to cut the Tzorech HaMitzvah, like for the Atzim Mizbeach or the Tzorech Sukkah, because an Asei is not going to be Docha this Isra, because Ein Asei Docha, Los Asei Vasei. Meaning one of the suggestions that the Be'er Sheva had said, that it's not a violation of Bal Tashkus because it's a case of the Tzorech Mitzvah. That sounds like Asei Docha Los Asei, that since you need it for a Mitzvah, it's going to be Docha Los Asei. But says the Panim Yafos, it's not just a Los Asei, it's a Los Asei V'Asei, and therefore we should not say even the Tzorech Mitzvah, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. So he says, no, we're misunderstanding what the Be'er Sheva meant. It's not that it's Asei Docha Los Asei, and that's why you're allowed to do it with Tzorech Mitzvah. The nature of the Isra of Bal Tashkas is when you're being purely destructive, but whenever it's the Tzorech Mitzvah, it's not that we're being Docha the Isra of Bal Tashkas. That's not part of the definition of the Isra of Bal Tashkas when it's Letzorech HaMitzvah. It's no different than if the Eitzim would be more valuable as chopped wood than they are as a tree. That the Gemara tells us that's not an Isser of Bal Tashkas. And it's mashma that way from the Pasuk in Nehemiah. It says, Ve'aviyu Ali Zayis and Ali Eitz Avos. And the Gemara tells us, Mesecha Sukkah, Daflamet Zayin, that the Ali Azayis they would use, L'sukkah, they would take olive branches for the Sukkah. So you see, apparently they were allowed to take branches of fruit-producing trees for the sukkah. And so you see that if they're allowed to use it for sukkah, and that's our Dafyomi coincidence for today, is if they're allowed to use it for the sukkah, so obviously you see that it's that Letzorech Mitzvah, it's mutter. In Sheilas Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Enden, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ayin Vav, learns from our sugya that you're allowed to cut down Letzorech Mitzvah. You're allowed to cut down a tree, Letzorech Mitzvah. And he says that even though the reason is because he also explains that the reason is because it's not derech hashchasa, and baltashkas is only when it's derech hashchasa. And based on that, he gave an answer to as far as the Beis HaKnesses that was too small, and they weren't able to expand it except toward the east. And on that side, there was a geffen that was planted that was producing peros, and there was no other way to expand the Beis HaKnesses other than by cutting down a fruit tree. So he says it's davar pashut, and in such a case, you're allowed to be kotzeitz the fruit tree because it's tzorech mitzvah. He says even for a tzorech hediot, it's mutter, because as long as it's not derech hashchasa, it's mutter. So kal v'chomer l'tzorech mitzvah, it's going to be mutter, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Taz in Yerodeas in Kuf Tez Zayin, where we discuss that those things that are aser mishum sakana, says aside from the iser Torah of hashchasa silanos of destroying fruit-bearing trees, because of Bal Tashkas, you do have to be cognizant of the sakana of cutting fruit-bearing trees, and someone who does it is not going to be roa simen bracha Chazal tell us. So that's where it gets tricky, right? Because the question is that segula element of not being roel simur bracha tied to the iser, or are they independent? Meaning, if one has a heter lahalacha to cut down a fruit bearing tree, so do we then say, okay, so now you're not going to have the curse that's associated with cutting down a fruit-bearing tree, and the inner simon bracha that's associated, or do we say that that no, they're independent entities? Even if you have a heter, you still might be subjecting yourself to some very bad things if you cut down a fruit-bearing tree. And that's why the minig is, even when you have a fruit tree that's completely destructive on your property, it's just drawing bugs and bees, and the fruits aren't good, and it's totally destructive, and in the way, so la halacha, it's mutter to cut it down. The minig is we sell it to the gardener, so that the gardener is cutting down his own tree because of the other element, because of that klala element that we try to avoid. So that's why every gardener in this neighborhood, at least, when it comes to the fruit bearing tree, he brings a dollar. He's ready to buy it from you. He knows exactly what we're up to. So meisveis. The Gemara asks the following on Rav Acha, who says that. The Rav Acha bar Yaakov's reason as to why it is that we're not allowed to use this wood was because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that when we talk about the Evarim of the Karban Ola, so the Pasuk says, V'arach HaKoyin Osam Ala Eitzim Asher Ala Eish Ar Asher Ala Mizbech. So Ala Eitzim Asher Ala Eish, we darshan, Eitzim Hanitochim Lios Eish, that these are Eitzim that will burn quickly and become Gechalim. So, mind me, who? What are these Eitzim that burn very quickly and become coals very quickly? So, Dokre Shvud, they're branches that are cut very well. Delokatri Va'azli Miktor Mitocho, that don't have any knots in them, and gets right to the center of the wood very quickly, and because there aren't these moist and thick knots in the wood itself. V'chikola Eitzim Ksheh, what is every eight kosher lemaracha? Hey, kol eitzim ksherim chutz min zayis v'gefen. All eitzim are kosher except for zayis and gefen. Aval be'elu hayuragilin, but the ones that they're most commonly used are b'morbi yoshal teina v'shalagos v'shel eitz shemen. And Rav Lezer Mosif, Av shal miyash v'shal alun v'shal dekel v'shal char v'shal shikma. That all of these things are types of wood that are Hasla Maracha, meaning this last list that Rav Lezer adds is on top of Zayis and Gefen. The following are also pasul to use for Maracha. So the Gemara explains the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Lezer, and based on the explanation of the machlokas, we're going to use that as a kasha on Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Bishlam Lamad Yom Rishum Dekatri. I understand very well, according to Rav Papa, that the reason that you don't bring Gefen and Zayis is because there are knots in the wood. So Bahakabathi, that's machlokas Tanakam and Rav Lezer, that the Eitzim that Rabbi Eliezer added to the list to Aser don't have knots on the inside, they only have knots sort of on the outside of the wood. And the machlokas is the Mar Savraf Gav Dol Katri Migavai, Kivin Dekatri Mabrai, Lo Mesinan, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, even though the inside of the wood is not knotted, only the outside of the wood is knotted, still you don't bring it to Maracha. Umar Savr and Tanakama holds, Kivin Dol Katri Migavai, Afal Gav Dol Mabrai Katri Mesinan, that since there's no knots on the inside, even though there are knots on the outside, it was kosher to be brought for the maracha. Meaning, we're only concerned about an internal knots, not external knots on the wood. Elamandi Amar, but according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, was that the reason for the psul of Gefen and Zayis is Mishum Yishuv Daretz Yisrael, is because it produces fruits. So then, why does Tanakama hold that Dekel mi lespe Mishum Yishuv Daretz Yisrael? Why does Tanakama allow using Dekel? Is there no Yishuv Daretz Yisrael when it comes to a Dekel tree? So Amar Lach. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov would respond, meaning that was the kasha on Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would respond, Ulutameich l'shitascha, that you're asking on me from the Braisa. Why don't you ask from the Mishnah that it says that they would bring te'ena, the lespa mishum yishuv daretz yisrael? And by the Mishnah, it didn't say dekel, but it said te'ena. It said that they would use te'ena wood. So you should have, meaning if you're going to ask on me, do it well. Don't ask on me from a Braisa that just introduces dekel and a dekel as tamarim. Ask on me from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says they would use te'ena wood. That's also a fruit producing tree. So that should be a kasha on me. So obviously I'm prepared with an answer for that, meaning I wasn't going to go against the Mishnah. It's not like you bring a new brisa to my attention I didn't think of. I had to come up with some answer for the Mishnah, obviously b'teina de la vida peri. So obviously the Mishnah was talking about a teina that doesn't actually produce fruits, and therefore it's not a violation, it's not a problem of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Well, dekel nami b'de la vida peri. The dekel that we're talking about in this brisa must also be a dekel tree that does not produce peros. But Zayas and Gethen are always motzi peros, that even if there's a Canaan, they're motzi some peros. That's how the Tver Yisrael explains, because if we're going to be consistent, if the Mishnah is talking about trees that don't produce peros, why would the Mishnah distinguish between Zayas and Geffen on the one hand, which are no good, and then Tain on the other hand, which is good? I mean, Zayas and Geffen that don't produce fruit should also not be a problem of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Says no, says it's very solid. Zayas and Geffen always produce fruit. There's no such thing as a Zayas and Geffen that doesn't produce fruit. So Umiyika Tain, the love of the Peira, is there such a thing as a Taina that doesn't produce fruit? In Kidder Rachba, Da Amar Rachba, Maisi Taina Chivarta, that someone who wants to have strong beams for the sake of building should bring te'enim that are white of the shayfilu b'chavlut zetzavta, and he should rub them with dekel ropes to remove the entire outer surface of it. Desarech alei bizra, because the plants on the outside will attach itself to these ropes, and that way it will smooth it out really well. The kavrehech the masik yamasirtun, and they should put it deep in the ground in a place where the water reaches the korah avda, perilo avda, and it will make very, very strong beams, but it won't produce any peros. Utlas briche minayu lo machzikaluhu gamla, and three branches of such a tree, a bridge won't be able to support, because it's going to be so heavy that the bridge would just collapse. So those are the best construction beams you could possibly have, and that's an example of a te'ena tree that doesn't produce any te'enim, that doesn't produce any fruits. It only produces wood as far as construction is concerned. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there and we'll finish the parak and move on to the next parak.